Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Herod the Tetrarch heard of the reputation of Jesus and said to his servants, "This man is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Although he wanted to kill him, he feared the people, for they regarded him as a prophet. But at a birthday celebration for Herod, the daughter of Herodias performed a dance before the guests and delighted Herod so much that he swore to give her whatever she might ask for. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here, on a platter, the head of John the Baptizer." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests who were present, he ordered that it be given, and he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who took it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the corpse and buried him. And then they went and told Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a great contrast in the readings today between the type of slavery that led to murder in the Gospel and the jubilee that God was proclaiming in the Mosaic Law. In order for us to profit from what we've been hearing over the last week and a half about the kingdom of God, the kingdom Jesus had come, and how we are to enter it through all the parables of the 13th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, it's key for us to see this double direction. First, let's begin with the weeds that had grown up all within Herod's conscience and soul. Herod was a slave. He was a slave to his ego. He was a slave to his lust. He had married Herodias, who was the wife of his half-brother, Philip, but wasn't just his half-brother, but also his niece. I'm not going to get into the whole convoluted sense of the family of Herod the Great, but he was related to her also by blood, and not just by the affinity that would come from his having stolen his half-brother's wife. But we see that lust more than any other way in what happened at his birthday party. At his birthday party, he pimped Herodias, his daughter, who would also be his great niece, in front of all his drunken courtiers, because he thought that that would be entertaining. And after he himself had been aroused by lust for his great niece and his stepdaughter, he had her come on up and he promised to give her whatever she asked for. And in St. Mark's Gospel, which is much more extensive about this scene, said, "Even to half my kingdom." He's about to give half of his kingdom for a lascivious dance. So enslaved was this person who was supposed to be free to rule. And when prompted by her mother, she asked for something absolutely grotesque, something that even the most enslaved would have recognized was wrong. He didn't have the freedom to do the right thing, even though he was a king. And so the head of John the Baptist was brought in a platter, as they continue to sing, "Happy birthday to you." Doesn't get any more enslaved than that. You like that point, huh? I mean, it's just, frankly, how contrasting this was at a birthday party, that you top it off with a severed head. God wanted to free us from that type of slavery. Jesus yesterday, when he was being rejected by the crowds in Nazareth, had said, according to St. Luke's version, that he had come to enflesh the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. That he had come to proclaim liberty to the captives and to announce a year of jubilee, a year that would have no end to it, an eternal jubilee, in which, as we see in these stained glass windows here, because of the fire of the torch of his love, he would set the shackles loose. And that's what God was saying he wanted to do regularly for the Jews, and to train them regularly to do for each other, to become true people, not enslaved by lower desires, but lifted up to be able to love like the Lord. So every 50 years, there was to be this jubilee year, in which people would be restored to who they really were, they'd go back to their native place. All debts would be forgiven. Slaves would be set free. That was what Jesus had come to bring into the world. Totally different. Because he knew in some way or another, all of us have those shackles. And he wanted a public manifestation of the mercy of God toward the Israelites, that the Israelites would then share with others. This was what St. Alphonsus Liguori spent his whole life doing. He founded the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, the Redemptorists, precisely to take this mercy, this liberation, out to the world, preaching missions to all those who were terribly debauched, preaching in the pulpit in a way that everyone could understand, not just the constant summons to repentance and faith in the gospel, but also the great news that God wants to restore us and make us full of joy, which is what a jubilee celebration is meant to be. Just like Jesus, St. Alphonsus suffered a tremendous amount for this. He suffered physically, he also suffered ecclesiastically, and he suffered religiously. They kicked him out of his own religious order toward the end of his life because someone to whom he entrusted writing the rule took it upon himself to abolish the vows. And somehow it got his signature at the very end because he was basically going blind, and he just trusted the one who had done it. He woke up one day and realized that he was no longer even a member of the Redemptorists. God had a way of fixing all of that at the end. But St. Alphonsus was one who worked indefatigably in order to carry out the Lord's work of liberation. Starting at the age of 49 till he died at the age of 91, he wrote an astonishing 65 books. His first book was written when he was 49. And the way that he would write was in between all his appointments, and because he had such splitting headaches, he would put a piece of cold marble against his head just to give him a little bit of alleviation as he was writing with the other hand. And why was he writing so much? Because he knew that the truth sets us free. And one of the reasons why so many were enslaved was because they didn't know the truth of the Lord. One of the reasons why they didn't know the truth of the Lord was because preaching was so bad. One of the reasons why preaching was so bad was because the priests themselves weren't as faithful as they needed to be. They weren't well enough trained, and they didn't have the right types of Christian piety. All of that St. Alphonsus tried to address, so that precisely he could continue in time what the Lord had begun in that synagogue of Nazareth, to announce that liberation and to make it possible through the sacrament. Today, as we come forward, it's important for us to notice those parts in us that are still given in to slavery, those parts that are enslaved by a bad memory of somebody in our family, or perhaps in our parishes or in our religious community, who might have said or done something to hurt us. And we still carry that wound, we still carry that shackle. We're prevented from that type of jubilee. We can think about those worldly cares and anxieties which had choked the growth of God's seed in Herod, and ask the divine gardener to do his work. But also we can be so grateful for all of those times in which the Lord has come to liberate us over and over again. He gives us the experience of the joy of the Jubilee, and not just every 50 years, but sometimes for us every 50 minutes, because that's what the good news is all about. This was something for which St. Alphonsus lived and died, and this is something that he intercedes for us to take up and live for and die for, so that we might experience true life with him and all the saints forever in the presence of the glory of Mary and all the saints. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.